So we pray, Heavenly Father, we respect your presence this morning, and Lord, we appreciate the fact that you gave us the understanding that you are the one who is here by the very nature of those deeds that were done that only God can do. And we accept all the manifestation, all the explanation, and the one who brought it, knowing that if we receive him, we receive Jesus, and he that receives Jesus receives you. And so, Lord, we know you are the head of the church. We understand that perfectly well. We know that you are putting the church in divine order, putting all things under the feet of Jesus. These things we acknowledge. We don't know them, Lord, in ourselves, and we don't know them in the Spirit as we ought to know, but we do know the truth, and we appreciate knowing the truth, trusting and hoping, therefore, Lord, that the correct mechanics will bring forth the proper dynamics, which we know it is going to in somebody, if not us. There's a bride out there somewhere. And we trust, like Brother Branham, to be able to say in all humility and grace and all joy, as the bridegroom, we may not be the bride of the bridegroom, but we can be friends of both, and we would not get in her way, but rejoice as she goes along the way. Help us in our study this morning, Lord, to be really correct and true, not to give our own ideas, O God, which there's a great danger there, but to rather give the truth as the prophet brought it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, last Sunday we were looking at the fact of the coming and the appearing, and we definitely saw that Brother Branham had given us the truth, the fact that they were two different words, which they are positively in the English, and they are positively in the Greek, and they are positively thus theologically. Now, we pretty well covered the subject, but there is a question, a sort of a question in the line of a comment handed to me. And since we are dealing with questions and answers, sort of therefore going back and forth on various subjects or that which is a part of a subject, we don't find it too difficult to continue this morning as we have been in the past. Now comes the question. We are more and more convinced that the Lord himself has descended from heaven with a shout. That took place June 11, 1933, 59 years ago. Belief has become understanding, not to the point we might like it yet, but at least a lot further down the road from a simple belief without understanding. Now, you mentioned the question and answer number 7 on Sunday, 7th of June, 1992. The Brother Branham would say from time to time at the close of a preaching service, he was waiting for him to come. We will see if he'll come. He would wait for him before the gift of healing would go into operation. Now we have come to understand that he's been present since his descent. Brother Branham knew he was already here, yet he waited for something about God to come so he could proceed. Is there any difference between one God coming on the scene and over these years continued increase in God coming on the scene with Brother Branham in particular meetings? Could the latter case be at least for the one purpose of building up the faith of the people, God being sovereign to show himself, however, he wants during the time of his presence? The question could be boiled down to, why would Brother Branham ask him to come when he was already here? We're already there. Any other insights on this, especially since Brother Branham may have been said regarding this? Well, number one, there's a little tiny mistake in the first part of the question, where he says, we'll see if he'll come. He would wait for him before the gift of healing would go into operation. Not the gift of healing, the gift of discernment. There's a big difference there. The gift of discernment did not depend upon you and me. That depended entirely upon that being the gift of the prophet. The gift of healing is what we made operate. And if we didn't make it operate after a certain period of time wherein God manifested that the gift of healing was there to be operated and received because of his value by the people, then he turned it back into the laps of the people. You must understand that when a prophet comes on the scene, he comes with thus saith the Lord, which is demonstrated by the fact that he comes in the name of the Lord, and the thing that he says must come to pass in order to show the people that God has vindicated him to be the one through whom God speaks to the people, for the prophet is God to the people. After that has been established, it is not necessary, though the ministry can continue as far as the people receiving benefits As we saw in the time of Moses, as he took Israel almost or to the edge of the promised land, and then Joshua took them in. We see the same thing in the ministry of Jesus, who both began to do and to teach. And then he continued to do the various things that were requisite of him as pertaining signs following the word. We saw the same thing in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And where Paul was completely vindicated, and he talks about his vindication in many places, and having been received of the people, we saw a continuing line of miracles and healings. But remember, the man was already established. So there's nothing that you and I can possibly do in order to bring about the first, which is that sign which God must give us that indicates that this is that one through whom he will speak to you and me, whom we receive as God. And God indeed does deal with this according to the word. And later on, we find that there are gifts, ministries, and things that follow the word. But you'll notice over here in the book of Hebrews, which is the most dynamic of all, in the 4th chapter, verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, even of joint and marrow, even as the discerner of the thought and intents of the heart. Therefore, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Now, then it says, "Seeing we have such an high priest that is passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast the confession of our faith," or saying the same thing. Well, now, hey, look, you know positively that that did not happen until this hour. And so now you're back to the confession of your faith, which is saying exactly what the prophet said, and that depends on whether you have a high priest or not. So as you look at this, you understand the question is well put, but this one point is in error. So you must correct that in your thinking. Because since Brother Branham came, there's no one with that gift of discernment. They try to use it. I myself have used it very successfully. Certain brother went out to see some men in Arizona the other day, dropped by their church, and this brother out there knows me very well, and I used to discern in those days. And he had a kind of a smile. He said, "Brother, I was there one night when Brother Vail had 12 people to appear before him, didn't miss one," and I didn't. And now look, that's a different thing entirely. So we're looking at Brother Branham, who came on the scene, and the question now is, the Lord did descend absolutely in 1933. Now remember, at that particular time, the voice of prophecy, and remember, our prophet is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Not a man, God, but it comes by the Holy Spirit. Now that one spoke through Brother Branham and said, as John the Baptist foreran the first coming, so your message will forerun the second coming. That was the Lord Jesus Christ appearing to the church and making himself manifest, and manifest to the extent that there was actually a rainbow in a complete circle. And I've seen them as you go over the Caribbean, and you're looking down at a cloud many times, which I was fortunate. I could look down, the sun shining, and I saw many beautiful circular rainbows. It's one of the most beautiful sights you will ever see. Very clear, very, very clear, just like looking at a crystal. And that rainbow came down in the circular form over Brother Branham, and the Spirit of God spoke through him, and that is what he said. Now, you'll notice that the major purpose was the message. Your message will do it. Now, at that particular time, the Lord Jesus Christ was not there to deliver the message, but begin to lead up to it. And you will see back that it took until 1946 when Brother Branham could come on the scene with the gift of healing and take it to the world. Now you'll notice he did not take it to the bride. He took it to the entire world, that the entire world may be judged. That's why you find in 2 Thessalonians, "You that are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ revealed in heaven these mighty angels taking judgment upon the earth." Now of course that's an interpolation. "You that are troubled rest with us." You see? Because until the time when he shall come to have been glorified in his saints, left hand, right hand, cursing, blessing. Like the scripture said, let us wait upon God and see if he will come, and whether he will leave a blessing or a curse. You see, the Old Testament people understood perfectly and thoroughly what the Christians today, the Gentiles who have the Holy Ghost, don't have a clue. So how much Holy Ghost do they have? The answer is nil. They have a very minor anointing. So this announcement was, there is going to be a message. According to 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now the word shout is kalusmon, which means positively the Lord is coming now to bring a group into subjection. Into subjection to what? Into him, and away from, come up from among them, all that stuff out there. Because that's what the word klusma comes to when you go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, when you come to subjection. So the Lord is using, the Lord himself has descended with that shout. The Lord has descended to use a prophet. The Lord has descended as he's always done. As Brother Branham said, when you see God descend from the heavens and stand before groups of men and declare himself as ever he did. And the people don't have, what did he do? Well, listen, if you listen to the prophet, you will be 100% with the prophet, and you yourselves, not only children of the prophets, but you will assume the place as prophets yourselves. Because prophets, children of the prophets, make little prophets. Like when Brother Branham said, little Jehovah born over a manure pile, that's just like saying, big Jehovah, little Jehovah. Who's big Jehovah? The Father. Who's little Jehovah? The Son. Where does that put us as a people? Now you see, the message we teach on the presence is not like you're hearing around the country. You don't hear them saying what we're saying. Why? Because they don't believe it. It's just a doctrine. Like serpent seed. If the presence of my God is like a doctrine of serpent seed, who needs it? So now listen, Brother Branham said he's coming more and more into his church. And he said, Luther looked for the pillar of fire. Now Luther didn't really know he's looking for the pillar of fire, but he was looking for that which was to come. Now Wesley looked for the pillar of fire, but he didn't really look for the pillar of fire. Brother Branham is trying to tell you something. He's trying to tell you that these people, the reformers, were looking for what we have today. And Pentecost thought they had it, but they didn't. Now, he said, just think, the same pillar of fire that came to Paul to bring the word, appeared to Paul, is now here revealing the word. He said, Jehovah, the one that indwelt that body, disincarnated himself and returned to the pillar of fire, he's here. There it is, a picture. He said, you cannot see it with your naked eye, but what you cannot see with your eye, I tell you by vision, he is here. Now, coming more and more into his church, descending more and more into the place where he has now arrived positively with his picture taken, came down like you see upon out there in Arizona. That same one coming more and more and more into his church. Now, you'll notice that's why Brother Branham could say, we don't know if he'll come. He's here, but we don't know if he'll come to this group on this occasion in order to manifest himself, to prove again and again and again, and in proving again, what is he doing? He's wooing a bride to himself. The gentleman that wants to have the lady friend as his wife, he doesn't bring her a cup of coffee and a donut. That might be great to start with. But if that's the last he gives her, he's not very attentive. And you know how some women have been won who didn't even want to be won. So listen, I just couldn't get rid of the guy. He was so attentive. My heavens, if he's this attentive, what will the marriage be? Roses and beauty and a mansion if he can give. Look what he gives me. He's wooing her. I know a lot of pretty girls fall for sour apples. How they do it, God. I should talk. I got married to my wife married a sour apple. I think she could see underneath I wasn't bad as I was on top. But you shouldn't take a chance on that. But that's the way it is with Jesus. Brother Branham categorically stated he was wooing a bride. See, so you see, when he says, we'll see if he'll come, will he come and expose himself on this occasion? And he did it all the time because he was out to get a virgin bride. Now, what chance if he's got to get a virgin bride when all the girls don't want to be virgins anymore? See the mess we're in? So he does come more and more into his church. But when he said headship has come, he's not only in his church. The cornerstone which was rejected is now the head of the corner, which means he is at the top of it all. He is here in the form of the Holy Spirit, absolutely controlling his church by the word, especially those who receive the word. Look at the bunch when Brother Branham said, come on, we'll put the little tongues and interpretations and gifts in a little room, and I'll go in there with you, and we'll do it the right way. They didn't want it. When he wanted me to go to Chicago with him, they turned me down flat. I praise God they did. I didn't want to go there to Chicago, Windy City. A bunch of independent Trinitarians. What would I do with a bunch of people like that to try to nourish them? Come on. I couldn't take it. So that's really the answer to your question. Yes, it is a particular thing that is being done that he's here. Now he's gone. So the days of the Son of Man that repeated just prior to the flood, the word that separates the people, getting ready now for the resurrection, the transformation, transfiguration of the living, and the catching away. So we got already number one, the shout has come in its entirety. I know there are those who say that Brother Branham must come back and he must do something like the preaching in the tent and all and do this and that. But if you notice something, he didn't do any preaching evidently. We knew he just came down, went to the room, and people were something great happened. When he was questioned by young Moses, he referred it to the resurrection. He said that is where it is. I don't understand these things. I'm not here to say it's not going to happen because it's got to happen. Everything else happened. And if one thing that's supposed to happen doesn't happen, then he wasn't that prophet. Because God doesn't make mistakes. One place he said it's either happened, we didn't recognize it. See, but contrary to many people who can't stand the fact that I will tell you things Brother Branham told me in order to help you, they say, well, it's not in the tape, forget what Lee Bale says. That's all very well and good. Those same people forget this is the white throne and I'm not lying. And I can say in the presence of Almighty God of the white throne, William Branham, you said so. And I'll tell you where you said it and when you said it, even the time of day you said it and under what the conditions were. That's what Paul said. We pray we have boldness. The word is parhesia. Boldness of speech and freedom to talk right back to Almighty God. Oh, if you think I'm afraid to stand there what I teach, Brother, see, you are badly mistaken. You're just hoping. Well, get your hopes. I'm going to knock him into a cocked hat and burn the cocked hat where it belongs. See? What am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that Sister Needy said just before Brother Branham died, he said, don't worry, I'll have that tent. Even just for one meeting. She said, Brother Vail, I don't know if he meant one night, one morning or noon, so to speak, but whether he meant a series, I don't know. I accept her word as a Christian sister. He will have it. Don't ask me any further to explain anything. I don't know. You do what you want. You're going to do it anyway. All right. Here's some nice quotes I was handed because I didn't write them all down, and even through the computer, they're not all there. All right. Appearing and coming. How many knows there's a difference between the appearing of Christ, the coming of Christ? It's two different words. Now the appearing and coming will soon be. Now's the appearing. The coming will soon be. He's appearing in the midst of us, doing the works he once did in his church. Now, you're a part of that church, and by grace you believe. I'm a member of that church. A member of what church? That believes he's in our midst and has proved it by what he has done. Again, but if you can beat all that away from you and say, Lord God, I believe just exactly what your word says, and I believe, as we preached last night, that the appearing of the Lord comes before the coming of the Lord. The appearing comes before the coming. The appearing comes. Huh? Well, then what was over there is here. Right? Because come means to come from one spot designated as there to another spot meaning here. Right? Well, you're very weak with your amens. I'm talking to chickens or eagles. You have very seldom every time you get down in your next one. I never ask you to run, shout, and scream amen. I've read what the prophet said. Thank you. That the appearing of the Lord comes before the coming of the Lord. Okay. As simple as ABC. I will show you something. The throwing of the book comes before the throwing of the Kleenex. Was the book thrown? Was the Kleenex thrown? Ha! Land right in the same spot, one on top of the other. That wasn't an accident. You know, all that believe it was. You'd believe anything. Say, Brother Bigger, you're snippy. No, I'm just naughty. End time evangelism. This is what Brother Branham said should have been taught. He preached before Brother Bose, the Trinitarian that went to Africa. And he sat there and didn't get the drift. Now we have already seen in our witnessing. Now we have already seen and in our witnessing the appearing of the Lord. Now remember, appearing and coming are two different words. To appear and then come. Now is the appearing. He's already appeared in these last days right here with us in His church in the form of the Holy Spirit, showing that it's He. Because people cannot do these things that you see the Holy Spirit doing. So that's the appearing of the Lord. Now remember, it's spoken both places, appearing and coming. How do you think that fella feels if he had to read this before he wrote his stupid book? Again, Jehovah Jireh. This is the close of the royal seeds waiting. He's here. The appearing of Christ. Did you ever try to divide? There's a place in the Bible, you know, I've got time to go into it, says appearing of Christ and then coming of Christ. That's two different things altogether. And the appearing and coming. He's appearing now, working in the form of His Spirit, making it just perfect, the church. It has to. Perfecting the church. Trial. He appeared to Abraham in the form of the Son of Man, Elohim, Jehovah. Call it what you want. He, Elohim, He, Jehovah, appeared in the form of the Son of Man. God in human flesh, manifesting Himself and proving Himself. The church has now served the term through His church age in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It served it. But Jesus said here to make Malachi 4 and the rest of these scriptures real, you see, that in the last days, just before the coming, the world would be like the Sodom, and the Son of Man will reveal Himself as the Son of Man like He did in the days of Sodom. What was that? God's back to the tent and Sarah in the tent. And He discerned the thoughts and intents of her heart. Now that's the time when Abraham really knew that God was the judge. And he said, shall the God of all the earth not do right? Shall the righteous perish with the wicked? And he said, not even one hair nor one hair, head, one person or one hair will perish. Come down to make my judgment. We would see Jesus in the evening time. It shall be late. What is it? The same sun that rises in the east sets in the west. The same Son of God that manifested and appeared in the east is appearing in the west now at the evening time. Evening time light church. That's called the church that's called out and filled with His Holy Spirit. And there, you know, there's many, many more. All right. That's all we've got time for in that. There comes before us today a doctrine that is very virulent. I don't even like to tackle it except for the fact that I never used to play football. And I always begrudge the fact I wasn't out there tackling. Not necessarily quarterback. Sometimes you think I do a lot of quarterbacking, but honestly, I don't know about football to discuss it intelligently. I don't know too much even about hockey anymore. Wasn't good at that. Wasn't good at basketball. Could sure run like crazy. and shoot the basket off the court, the ball off the court. But it was fun doing it. Anyway, the thought is going around today that the Holy Spirit is part female. And I have the tape where a certain brother says that the female portion of the Holy Spirit came back on the day of Pentecost. And these people evidently base everything they preach upon quotes. And that's the way it should be, and that's not the way it should be. Because you can quote yourself plumb into hell, the same as the Seventh-day Adventist, Jehovah Witness, and the Pentecostals. And if I offend you this morning and you say you believe Brother Branham, you are liars, looking me in the eye as though you do. You're hypocrites. Because Brother Branham said no Pentecostal is going to make the rapture because the Bible calls them chaff, and he called them chaff, and the chaff is burnt. Now, if you think I'm a terrible, hard person, let me acquaint you with the fact that God is known as a rock. And when they got water, they said water out of the flinty rock. Jesus was the rock and Peter was a little pebble. So you come to this church, and I'm not speaking to anybody that's really strange to our congregation. I preach this way all the time. You understand that we don't fool and mix words here, because if I go to hell, I want to get out and annihilate it as quick as I can. So I'm not looking to make errors. And you can make the biggest error of all by simply quoting the prophet and think you're home base free. But Brother Branham said the greatest truth is, the greatest lie is 99% error. The Pentecostals don't have any truth, and the Baptists ain't far behind. So the only ones that can be the biggest liars are Brother Branham's group. I should read you some letters I get from poor people that are beat over the head by the so-called pastors. Then you begin to appreciate what comes over this pulpit. Because when I'm through preaching, I don't care what you do. I won't necessarily shake your hand or hug your neck. But if you need money and help, I will help you. If your family's going to pot, I'll try to hold it together. But any hurt you will get will be your soul's wounded, because you need them wounded because something's wrong with your understanding. And if you get hurt over that, that's your tough luck. Because remember, I sat under Brother Branham's preaching for years, and I go through sermons word by word, and if you think those things can't cut me, you're entirely at odds with what is the truth. So when I talk about these things, I want you to know I don't have an axe to grind, because I don't care two bits what they're saying. In fact, I'm glad they're saying it if they're wrong. You say, Brother Dale, how can you be so callous and cruel? Because he said, when all these things take place, look up, the redemption draweth nigh. And this is part of it. So I'm not going to stand here like a mealy-mouthed hypocrite and tell you, well, I've greatly sorrowed. It may be that at the time of Paul, who said, I know only one message, and that's the message of the cross, he said he was apprehended for the resurrection. But if you read Philippians very, very carefully, you'll find that though he preached it and knew it was there, he was not apprehended for it at that particular time. And we do the same with the cross. We do not deny it. But the apprehension is no longer the cross, because this is the time of the last child in and child train. We are apprehending now the resurrection, which resurrection we are. So So if I should go back and try to live myself through the seven church ages and ignore what's happened in this age, I'd be a complete fool. This is harvest time, brother, sister. And harvest time means the judgment is over. So we take our stand not to attempt to fight anybody, but to clear the air as to what I believe and what I believe the prophet said, and I teach it, and you can do what you want with it because that's your business. As I said, you what you do, I'll never stand over a club and try to correct you and do this or that. What you do in secret, that's your baby. That's your business entirely. I got one job, preach the word, then stand back. For except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain to build. Except the Lord watch the city, they watch and watch, but in vain. So I'm going to read you some quotes on this business of female and male spirit. We won't have time for the other things I'd like to go into. Now he says here, question answers. And then God took from his side a piece of him, a rib, and made a woman. Now where did he get the spirit woman? See? In Genesis 1:26, he said, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness. Created he them male and female. He made the birdie spirit for the man, and he made the tender, little, delicate, feminine spirit for the woman. Now, I want you to remember what he's saying, because if you don't remember what he's saying and how he's saying it, and I don't have time to go through all the context, which is dangerous just to quote it without, we have a problem. Question and answers. Now in the book of Revelation, I got that here. Let me get it quick to see. Revelation 13:8. And all that dwelt upon the earth whose names, all that dwelt upon the earth shall worship him whose names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The question is, where were we spirits then? No, we were not even nothing then. See? Now watch. Not written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, Brother Branham is taking it right back before then. So you go way back, you're going right back to the time where God stood, as far as I understand, in solitude all by himself. There was we were not even nothing then. We should say we're not even anything then, because a double negative makes it a positive. But in God's mind, we were. And he spoke it, and it materialized. Now, what does he do? He thinks, he cogitates, plans it, puts it in a book, then speaks it, begins to move. Right? We found that in Melchizedek, so get your thinking right. Jesus was slain before, of course, that's the foundation of the word, doesn't finish it. How many knows the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the word? Why? God spoke it. When he spoke it, it was as good as finished. And when he saw me, he saw you before the foundation of the world. We were only figurative in his mind. Then we came into the world. We were both man and woman, male and female. He separated the feminine spirit from the man and made a woman out of it. Left the masculine spirit in a man. All right, up here he said, he made the burly spirit for the man. Burly. He made the delicate, little, tender, feminine woman. Okay, Abraham's covenant confirmed. The man, when he was first made, he was both in his spirit, both masculine and feminine. Both was in him, male and female, he alone. When God separated him, he never went. A woman is not in the original creation. She's a byproduct of man. He took the body from the man's body and took the feminine part from his spirit. And put it into her, and she is feminine, and he's masculine. Unfortunately, they have this here capitalized, though it's the Spirit of God. That's a very gross error to think that is so, because it's not said that it is by Brother Branham. When you see if women, like in America today, want to act like men, there is a perversion there somewhere. When you see a man so sissified, afraid to say, I just don't like to tell you all where you're all going. You're some preacher. Well, I don't want to. Oh, my. God wants men, that's right, wants you, if you're a woman, a lady, or if you're a man, to be a man. Man. When man first came on earth, he was both male and female, feminine and masculine before he became sex. See, a feminine spirit, the lower spirit, is the one that's timid. And then there's also a masculine man. But when he made and put him into, and he put different, in order to reproduce the world, he brought the feminine spirit off him and put from him a rib from his side and made a female. If you notice how that Eve was united with Adam, she became part of him. Did you notice that in Genesis 1:27? When he said she was united with Adam, he's talking about the fact that they're actually one. She became a part of him. I think the wording would have been she was a part of him. She became later a part of him again when they were united back in flesh. I would think the language there could be corrected, but it's not of any importance. He created male and female, he created them. Now the man was both male and female when it came to being in the spirit of feminine and masculine. Then God took from his side a rib. Did you notice the body part was a byproduct? Now notice that the body part was a byproduct, but not the spirit. The body part of the woman was a byproduct after the creation had been finished. God took from the side of Adam rib and made a woman, but not the spirit. The spirit was part of Adam, for he was both man and woman. Spiritually speaking, both masculine and feminine. Seed not error. For when God separated Adam, he was both. We find out Adam was spirit to begin with. He made man in his own image, created male and female. Then Genesis 2 and so on, he created man out of the dust of the earth. Man was created in God's image, and God is a spirit. So he's a spirit man. Then when he became flesh man, God's flesh on the earth, he is showing, portraying here the bride. He never took the and made another being, but he took a part of Adam, the original creation, took from him a rib from his side, and took the feminine spirit out of Adam, left the masculine spirit in there, and placed it in the feminine part. Therefore, part of his spirit, part of his body, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, word of his word, life of his life. That's the way the bride is to Christ. We'll come back to that because there's a very important phrase. You heard it, but you missed it without a doubt. Satan's eating seed. He wouldn't believe it. He could prove maybe he was male, but in his spirit, he's female. He don't know what side of the house he belongs on. That is right. How perverted. That's what Satan does. He perverts the nation, perverts the church. He perverts the people. He's a deceiver, pervert original truth. God made a man a man. He made a woman. And he dressed them different. And he meant them to stay that way and to act that way. One is feminine, the other is masculine. He separated Adam in the Garden of Eden. He did this serpent seed. Now notice this man, when he was created, God created his spirit. And he took a piece off the man, his side, and made a woman out of it. Then he took out the feminine, dainty spirit of the man and made a woman out of it. He made the man masculine, burly. When you see a man, little, you know, a manicuring, whatever you call it, his fingernails, four on one side and five on the other, slicking his hair down, holding his mouth open in front and such stuff, you know, like he's putting on goon gunk, one of these pretty boys, just remember, sissy, something is wrong with that bird. There's something wrong. You better keep your eye on him. Jehovah Jireh. See, the same thing it was. The whole church must be revelation. When it was typed in the natural seed, look, Isaac and Rebekah were first cousins, blood relations, same father, see? Fathers were brothers, made them blood cousins, the bride and the bridegroom. And in Adam and Eve, it was all Adam to begin with. God took a rib from his side and made a woman. And he took the feminine spirit out of Adam, put in a woman. The Bible says in Genesis 1:27, the image of God, God's a spirit. And the image of God created him, male and female created him then. In the spirit form that was in God, and in the spirit form that was in God. In other words, you know what he's saying? The image means they were a spirit, like he said that many times. And Adam was to take care of the land, just like the Holy Spirit's supposed to lead the church now. And yet man was not in flesh. And he was both masculine and also feminine, because it was the same spirit. The rising of the sun. When God made his first bridegroom, he made the bridegroom first. And he was both man and woman in spirit, formed him in the dust of the earth to make him material. And notice when he made Eve from Adam, he took not another piece of clay, he took from the same piece of clay the same word. For Adam was a spoken word, see? He took from him, and then he took the masculine and feminine spirit, and he took the feminine spirit away from Adam and placed it in Eve. So it's still part of Adam's spirit. It's Adam's flesh. Then it was Adam's spirit, the dynamics that quickened the mechanics of his body. So the bride must also be flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. Now, how is the mortal flesh going to become his flesh? We'll get into that in a minute. See, it has to be done now in this great transformation. See, now if the spirit of him, that's God, raised up Jesus the dead dwelling, he that raised up Christ the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwells in you. So he's looking here to the resurrection, of course. Our bodies like Christ's body because we're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. You see the type in Adam. And Eve, how can you miss seeing the serpent seed, this invisible union, when you see the woman a byproduct? Now remember, the byproduct is in the flesh. He's already explained that. Not another female like her made in that mold, in that order. In order that she could be deceived, God knew. If he didn't know the end from the beginning, then he wasn't God. If he isn't infinite, he can't be infinite without being omniscient, omnipresent. He explained that. It's not omnipresent. It's omnipresent by reason of omniscience and omnipresence. He's explained that other places, but he does oftentimes say omnipresent. But he corrected that. Knowing all things eternal, so he knew all things. And he had to make that woman. The man didn't have a wife. The wife and the man was the same thing. He had the feminine masculine spirit in him. He had to separate, take a byproduct after the whole creation was made. No female created by God in the original creation can do a thing like that. But she was made thus to do it. He knew she would do it. But if he didn't, he wasn't God. Manifested sons. When he made his angelic being, he made man. Created him male and female, all in the same unit. He was both man and woman, feminine and masculine. When he made Adam, he put him in flesh. Remember in Genesis 1. He made man and woman. In Genesis 2, there was no man yet to till the soil. Fresh man. Flesh man. No man that could take a hold of anything and till the soil. But yet there was a man in his image. God is a spirit. That's right. See, he made the first man. Male and female created he them. The man, when he was first made, he was both in his spirit, both masculine and feminine. Both were in him. Male and female were he alone. But when God separated him, he didn't go to another creation. Though a woman is not in the original creation, she's a byproduct of man. He took the body from the man's body and took the feminine part from his spirit and put it in her, and she is a feminine and he's a masculine. When you see, if women like us in America, they want to act like men, there's a perversion somewhere. When you see a man so sissified, afraid to say, I just don't like to, you know, say, it tells you what kind of a preacher you are, what kind of a person you are. God wants a man that's right. He wants a woman to be a lady and so on, right down the line. Now, there's some other quotes in there in Christ the Mystery of God, which we didn't go into at this particular time. Now, you can see in there why a question has risen as to why there is the thought that there's a part of the Holy Spirit that's female, even as we have a type in the man, and not just a type of the actuality, that within Adam lay the two, because when they were in the image of God, which was spirit man, he was both male and female, and when he was put in a body, he was still both male and female. But he couldn't give up his entire body, so just a rib was taken out. And that contains everything the body needs, because the life is there in the cells and all. So God simply formed then from that flesh, which kind of signifies like a birth coming from Adam, the same as when that light formed that came from God, the only begotten Son. And then, of course, he took the female part and put it within the female, and he kept the male within the male. Now, to begin with, I'm going to read you my notes, and we'll see where we're coming from. To begin with, we know, at least I can't find, I don't know any scholar ever has found, what is supposed to be, what many people claim to be, that the Holy Spirit is feminine. Or both masculine and feminine according to how they're thinking or what words they're looking at. But I can't find one word anywhere in the Bible or elsewhere that actually makes God either female or part female. And this is where you have all these women fussing about the fact that God is masculine and they don't want him masculine. They want a female pope, they want female preachers, they want a female God. And of course the Gnostics came up with the female God. And Brother Branham spoke of concerning the female goddess, who they claimed was the goddess Diana of the Ephesians, who came down to earth, and they believed the woman was a creator because she created seed in the womb. And Brother Branham said, of course, which you know is a fallacy, because the male alone has the life, he is the carrier. And as he put it, the woman is truly the incubator, though positively she does supply a portion. And why would she not, on the grounds that she is part of the male from the very beginning? So to begin with, we know there absolutely is no scripture that says God is both masculine and feminine, or that he is female versus male. He has no title or office that indicates a feminine spirit, though there is an allusion to the female breast where God uses the name El Shaddai as a description of his soothing and nourishing, that which he gives his children, even as a fretting, hungry baby is satisfied by drawing milk from the breast of the mother. However, this is only a descriptive name and is not even mentioned amongst the eight titles of Jehovah that refer to his redemption and his association particularly to mankind, as we know a living God is dealing with a living people. Number one, Jehovah Jireh is the Lord will provide. Number two is Jehovah Rophe, which means the Lord is our healer. Number three is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our victor. Number four, Makadosh, that's Jehovah Makadosh, he who sanctifies. Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Jehovah Tzidkenu, our righteousness. Jehovah Rohi, our shepherd. And Jehovah Shammah, ever present. Now, it's easily seen from El Shaddai what we have said about him, what the scripture indicates. We have easily seen that El Shaddai is actually the revelation of God himself to Abraham, where he included most, if not all, redemptive titles as Jehovah, wherein he reveals what he is to all his sons. El Shaddai is actually a composite of just about every one of the Jehovah Jireh, the Jehovah complex titles, wherein Jehovah Jireh is our provider. Does not the breasted one provide? Jehovah Shalom, does he not give peace? Jehovah Rohi, is he not the shepherd who leads into those places of solitude and solicitude? Is he not Jehovah Shema, the Lord who is ever present? Is he not Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who is the healer, even as the child is healed? Is he not also Jehovah Nissi, our victor? For does not that stand for such? So therefore we see the word El coupled with the word Shad. El is the strong one. Elohim, the strong one bound by an oath. The strong one who is his own word. The strong one who gave it upholds it and will consummate it. And the word Shad is the breast of a woman. That is not figurative. That is the truth. But you will find the word Shad itself is not used nearly as often as another word is used, which is figurative, which has a far different meaning. Now remember, God is the Word. And God declares himself verbally and or orally. And then the verbal goes into writing. And that writing is our food. And the word of God is our nourishment. For God, we shall not live by word alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Almighty God. With that, I want to take you to John 1 and 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. which means to bring him forth literally, absolutely explain him by words, and what manifestation is necessary to establish with you a true understanding of Almighty God and a complete relationship. And remember, the term is used, Son of God, which he went back to as he came down as the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is the great revealer. So we are looking at the fact here now that we are looking at nourishment and where the nourishment is drawn from. And you'll notice the only begotten is in the bosom. And what has the bosom? The bosom has the breast. And what is the nourishment from the nourisher? It is the Word. So you, as far as I'm concerned, you must be very careful to see what is being said if you're going to attribute to God breasts. As Brother Branham said, that Jesus is on the right hand of the Majesty on high. It's not as though God had a hand. It is figurative, showing a power delegation. You think for 1 minute that God would say that God has breasts that you suckle on? The answer is completely in the negative, showing forth the complete idiocy of people who would believe such nonsense. Man shall not live by bread alone. And we'll talk about that as we go along. Now watch. Paul talks about, well, let's just stop here a minute. Let's look at the words when it comes to breast. And here again, we are going to find that most of these we talk about is not actually shad. But we go to Numbers, the 11th chapter. And it says in verses 10 to 15, when then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that they should say unto me, carry them in thy bosom? As a nursing father bears the sucking child. Well, I hope none of you children here breastfed had the misfortune of your mothers handing over to your fathers to breastfeed you. Evidently, Moses did. To be genuinely sarcastic, did he have utters? Read it. I never wrote it. Got enough brains to believe it. I think I'm like a little slightly spiritual. In thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the sucking child. What's a nursing father? A nourishing father. Okay. Unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers, whence of thy flesh, and so on and so forth, to feed all this people. If thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. If I found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. This man had forgotten who sent him and who was standing with him. When the pressure got so deep, he was 100% human like you and me. If God put him there where there was no water, then let God bring the water. I love what Brother Branham said. He said, what, Matthew 5:48, be you perfect even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect? He said, I wanted to ask the answer. He said, I'll tell you the answer. He said, if God gave a commandment, then God must give the answer. That's why you see Brother Branham was truly one of the greatest prophets of all days. Your brother, why did you call him the greatest? How would I know? I certainly take his testimony that he stood with Moses and Paul. Yeah. Yeah, do you still love to learn? If you don't have to love me, that's beside the point. You know, sometimes they get a kick out of not being liked. You know, if they hadn't hated Jesus, he couldn't have been crucified and raised from the dead. All things happen to good for good to them that love the Lord. All right. Deuteronomy 32:9-14. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, in the waste and howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, flutters over her young, spreads abroad her wings, takes them, bears them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride high on the places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the field. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, oil out of the flinty rock. Butter of kine and milk of sheep with fat of lambs and rams and the breed of Bashan and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. Thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. Sound like the old boy had 14 years of picnic. Hogwash he did. Now what do you think he was feeding on? The word of God turned into reality. The hidden manna, the honey in the rock, water from the flinty rock, and he was sucking as a baby sucks on the breast. Now, that word also is figurative. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 60, and in verse 16. Thou shalt suck the milk of the Gentiles. Thou shalt suck the breast of kings. Thou shalt know that I am the Lord, thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. And this time the word is Shad. But you will notice what is happening here. Israel is given a preeminence amongst the nations. And God said, I'm going to make you head and not the tail. You're going to take over. And watch what he said. He said, you are going to suck the breasts of kings. And thou shalt know that I am the... suck the milk of the Gentiles, rather. Then suck the milk of kings. Then he said, notice, thou shalt know that I am the Lord, thy Savior and Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. What is he saying? He is telling you right there that he is behind all of this, so that these nations, whether they want to or not, will actually nourish Israel. And they have. The nations have given refuge. There's always a promise for those that help the children of God. Isaiah 66, this is not Shad, 6-13. And a voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendered the recompense to the enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she delivered a man-child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in the day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. You're right at the end time. See, that's the end time promise as a nation. Shall I bring forth to the birth and not cause to bring forth? Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth? In other words, a miscarriage or the child dead, you see. saith the Lord, shall I bring forth and shut the woman's womb, saith God? Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her and all ye that mourn for her, that you may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolation, that you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. Well, there you're talking figurative again. You're looking at figures. Isaiah 49:12-16. Behold, these shall come forth and from far, and lo, those from the north and from the west, and from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heaven, and be joyful, earth, and break forth into singing amounts, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child? That she should have not compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee, for you are graven upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. What is he saying there? He's making a comparison. He's telling you absolutely flat The children that suck on the mother's breast can positively, that woman can walk off and leave it. But those that are on the breast of Almighty God, whence comes the Spirit of God to teach and to lead us? Where it says Jesus is, that breast leaning upon as John did, there is no way you'll be forsaken. So we better be very careful how we're looking at the female and the male spirit. What we're looking at is pertaining to the man and pertaining to the woman. Before we make some conclusions on what Brother Branham says, you've got to kind of look at the whole situation. Now, having read John 1 and 18, which we saw there, the children's meat, which is Christ. He's the manna which came down from heaven. He's the hidden manna, which if you eat upon the last day, you're going to live forever and have your name in that white rock, and all those things will pertain to you. All right, now watch. Paul talks about the word as milk and as strong meat. And that computes to God as dealing with the children of the breast, where we all start as newborn, as said by Peter. So let's go over to Peter, the first chapter, second chapter, and 1-3. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisies and envies and evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you've tasted the Lord, that he is gracious. Now, where do you get milk? You don't get it from the goats and the kine. You're going to get it from the woman, who is the mother. All right? Hebrews, the 5th chapter, 12-14. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not strong meat. For everyone that uses meat, milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now it tells you right there that nobody in the Pentecostal age that stays with Pentecost can understand discernment. They all think it's a gift of knowledge, the word of knowledge. They think it's this, they think it's that. But they do not understand that it is absolutely Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because Hebrews 13 and 8 is Genesis 18, where God stood outside the tent with his back to the tent and Sarah in the tent and addressing Abraham. And that's when she showed her complete nakedness. Because she said she laughed up her sleeve with Brother Branham said, and of course it trickled out. And God said, why are you laughing? Straightway she got scared. She wasn't laughing. He said, but you were laughing. And he said, God would have killed her, but she was a part of Abraham. They'd take her right back, of course, to Adam and take her right back to Christ. You see, you're looking way beyond male and female. So let's get that understood, I hope, anyway. And notice in here he said strong milk and a strong word, which is meat. And, of course, you give a baby a chunk of meat, it'll choke. It may enjoy chomping on him with the little gums. It usually doesn't, though. Actually, in most cases, meat is an acquired taste, I do believe. Most everything we have is acquired, which is pitiful. Now, but even at the point of El Shaddai, who is provider, peace, shepherd, sanctifier, and so on and so on, and unmistakably Nisi, our victor, which signifies the mature warrior sons through the strong and mighty God, by the strong and mighty meat. Now, thus in my estimation, I'm telling you from my viewpoint what I see. I got no argument. This is what I teach when the question comes up. We see El or Elohim in no wise as feminine spirit, but by the use of Shad, a part of the female, we see a descriptive reference to God's disposition to supply toward Abraham and consequently all the bride seed. So whatever lies in El Shaddai, what you're looking at is the very scripture that Paul used. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. They that have been damned upon the knee and fed upon the breast of salvation shall surely come to the place of full maturity. Amen. And that's where we are today. So we accept the things Brother Branham said. Now, with this we can read in Hebrews 6, and 13-20, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely blessing, I'll bless thee, and multiplying, multiply thee. And so after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now remember, way back there, I'm El Shaddai. Way back there, he said, by my name Jehovah was I not known. That was true. He said that to Moses. That was only known to Abraham, was not known universally. But now God is becoming God to the entire people. And it says concerning Abraham, after he patiently endured and obtained the promise, for men verily swear by the greater, an oath of her confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing more abundance, shew unto the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, fed for refuge, lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and that, and which entereth into that within the veil. What's within the veil? The forerunner, even Jesus Christ, the high priest. So what I'm looking at here is letting you know from what I see here in Scripture that God actually swore by himself concerning his own word, which was a part of himself. He, in other words, he came out in full manifestation and said, listen, I've told you. Now I'm bringing the whole thing into full manifestation, and I'm even going beyond the necessity I'm swearing by it when I don't need to swear by it. Now it says the far forerunner, what happened back there, we've got a forerunner that's within the veil. That's why the Bible said, I live by the faith of Jesus Christ. It doesn't say you live by the faith of what Jesus Christ gave you. You live by the faith of Jesus Christ himself and the Father that saw the promise come to pass, raising him from the dead. And everything in him coming to pass. Now, you talk about like this to a bunch of Pentecostals? They're female, all right. They're males. They're still on their breast, and God knows what. They're not going to tell you anything. Now, Hebrews 6:13-20 ends up in Christ who is masculine. And yet in him masculine, we all were, as we find in Ephesians, the first chapter 3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, it tells you right there that we were in him, even to the place of predestination, the whole thing was sealed up in him. And you know what Paul says in Romans 8, whom he justified, them he glorified. So therefore we have it in the past tense, as Brother Branham says. We are all attributes of him, and we are all called sons. So let's just take a look at that. But first of all, we'll go to the Songs of Solomon. In the Songs of Solomon, chapter 4, we read a bit. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou art as dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear upon Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bears twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temper is like a piece of pomegranate, and thy locks, thy neck is like the tower of David builded for an army whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, and that feed among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee, I will get me the mountain of myrrh in all the hill of frankincense. Thou art my fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. That's about all as far we have to read. or we can read further. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, come with me from Lebanon. Look to the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar, and from Hermon, from the lion's den, from the mountain of the lepers. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister and my spouse. What did Brother Branham say about the two getting married? They had the same father. For they had the same bloodlines. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. Thou art fair, my love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, droppeth the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments like the smell of leaven. What's under her tongue? Honey in the rock and the word of God. He's talking about a bride, a virgin bride to the word, of the same bloodlines. The same spirit, the same everything, but she's a woman and he's a man. Okay, a garden encloses my sister and my spouse, it brings it up, and so on down the line. Now that suffices for that part, this part of the treatise. And we move on to another dictum from the Word. As we do so, we advance to the Alpha and Omega principle. And we go right to the Alpha and Omega principle. So let's take a look at it. We go to the book of Luke. That's about as good as anyone to go to. And in chapter 20, 34 to 38. And Jesus answering said, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world, even the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal. That means they're like unto the angels, and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. You understand what's being said? Okay. That's Omega. You understand the principle, the Alpha and Omega? What was has to be as the beginning, so at the end. What was sowed has to come to fruit. So right here it says, there isn't any marriage in the resurrection. They're like angels. What are angels? Ministering spirits. What does the Bible talk about a woman ministry husband? Just food. Okay, let's go to Genesis. Your brother Branham took us. Genesis 1 and 27. And Lord and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. Oh, that's 22 verse, 127. Let's read 26. And God said, let man make man their own image after a likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon you. So God created man in his own image. The image of God created him, male and female created he them. And God blessed him and said, be fruitful. All right, we know that the word create is the word bara, which means to choose, create, dispatch. Okay, let's go now to Matthew, chapter 19, verse 4. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read them in the beginning? He that made them in the beginning made them male and female. Now they said, it's lawful to put you away your wife for every cause. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. Wherefore what God joined together let no man put asunder. Okay, and there you find it says God made them. Means to make, to do. Means workmanship. Doesn't mean create. You say this, you see the same word over here in Luke 10:6-8. We just look at these and then we'll talk about them. And it says, I got the right place, I hope so. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn you turn again. The same, and in the same house remain eating and drinking such things he gives. The labor is worthy of his hire. Going from house to house. I haven't got the right one here. Doesn't matter. I wanted something in there, but everybody had to put their. I do that at times. Now, the word I'm looking for simply has to do with the fact of creating. It doesn't much matter. Now, in the Greek again, in create, we can go to 1 Corinthians. I'll look it up next time and get it for you. We go to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and I hope I got this one right. Yeah, in verse 9, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman was created for the man. There you see that the after effect of creation. And notice in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter in verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The word created. Ephesians 3 and 9, to make men's seed. What is the mystery of the, what is the fellowship of the mystery? Which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. Colossians, the third chapter. And again the word create, the tenth one. And put on the new man which is renewed in the knowledge of after the image of him that created him. And in, well, there's several words. Revelation 4, I think, is the one I wrote down again. 4 and 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory, because for thy pleasure all things were created. The 10th chapter and the 6th verse concerning creation. All of those things come from the word create in the Greek, means to possess, provide, for purchase. It comes from the root word, and it has the idea of proprietorship, being the manufacturer, the creator. In the Greek, which is the true revelation of the Hebrew, we find it actually means to create. It means to be the founder, the one who did it in the first place. So as we look at the words, Genesis 1:27, and then take it to 2 and 7, which Brother Branham did. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed in his nostril breath of life, and man became a living soul. You find here that what God actually did then was to encase the man in a form wherein he would be sensate to all the rest of nature and be a part of nature, working within nature. And you will notice in there that it says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and this is the time he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now, the breath of life means not the breath of life per se, but the breath of lives. And you know, Brother Branham said, saying what Dr. Bosworth and many people say according to the Greek, that the word Zoe always means eternal life. It certainly does. But actually, that's only according to theology, according to Revelation. Because the word Zoe is where we get the word zoology, which refers to all life. So now here is a man who is already alive in a spirit form. Here is a God who is already alive, and it talks about in him being life. That's like taking a chunk of pure gold and saying there's gold in that gold. Hogwash, it's gold. So you're watching language to be explicit, but you have to understand what that explicitness is, which we'll look at. Now, if this man was as he was, and any spirit, a spirit man which he was. Now there's a place where Brother Branham says that Adam was a theophany, but you will find where it was corrected. Because the word theophany, although it could be used of him in the sense God made him in his image, and he was there representing God, and if God would be anything, God would be a man, because that's what Jesus became. The word is theophanero, which means God showing himself forth. And by his creative power, God did show this man forth. So actually, that was a theophany in the very limited sense of the word. But don't carry it too far, or you'll mess up like Hogan's goat. Brother Paul said there is a spirit body. Brother Branham called it that. He called it a word body. And he said, you bypassed your word body in order to be put in flesh to be tempted. I ask you a question. Then did Mr. Adam have a word body, a spirit body? If he did, he wasn't tempted. And that particular form of the spirit, he went into that physical body, he did become tempted. And the temptation came, as you well know, the separation from the male and the female into a male and female creatures. Yet at the same time, had they not been put in those physical bodies, at least Adam, he would not have been a true part of Zoe. No way. Because he didn't have hands to hold with and hands to prune with and anything else. That's what the Bible said. There was nobody to tend the garden. Well, Adam, you go ahead. We can't handle the hoe. Can't break off branches. I'm in another world. I'll put him in this world. Fine, Danny, put him in this world. So there he is. So, we were back here now in Genesis 2nd chapter, where God gives us the complete picture. 18 to 24, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. Well, I thought he wasn't alone. Evidently he is. I'll make a help me. Now here, let's get the picture. Why he's alone. Out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam, that he would call him what he would. Whatever Adam called him, every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to the cattle, the fowl of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet. Now the word helpmeet means one of his own kind. One of his own species. There wasn't one of his own species. He was the species. And he was the only kind. And if that doesn't give you a perfect picture of Jesus, I don't know what does. Because he's the only begotten son, the only one of his kind. Just like Adam was. And as an Adam all died, even so, in this only one of a kind, we all come alive. Amen. Listen, if that doesn't put it all back in God's responsibility, you don't even know your foot. Forget it. You missed something terribly, terribly, terribly interesting and terribly, terribly marvelous. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And as he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which Lord God had given, which the Lord God took from man, he made a woman, brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. He doesn't say one thing about her spirit. It's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And she'll be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now notice, therefore shall a man leave father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and there shall become one flesh, and they are both naked, man and his wife, are not ashamed. Why is that thrown in there? Well, it tells you pure and simple, he is joined to a heart as one flesh. Your pattern is already set here, what the sin was in the garden. Temptation of the flesh. The nakedness. And yet people think today women can take her clothes off, and you men, why, you're just a dirty bunch of chauvinistic pigs, and you just, oh, I could use all the terminology, but I hate to use some because it's not nice. Even I'll hold my breath on something before kids. Yeah, I don't mind using the term, women are just, you know, sex symbols. Well, put your clothes back on. Time up? You gotta be kidding. I gotta tell you a little story. What happened? What happened last night? It's a little story, of course. It's not a true story, but it's a story. Down at the corner of the bank down here in St. Paris, the cops saw a suspicious man, but he wasn't doing anything wrong, so they let him go. Around 4 o'clock in the morning, one cop said, I knew it was. That was the Grinch. Too late. He stole Father's Day. No. No Father's Day message, never even a Father's Day dinner. You got to keep moving, so. Sorry about that. But listen, we are looking at what we see here from this scripture. Now, every single time when it came to creation and life was there in the form of any type of life, of zoology, it meant reproduction. And Adam could not reproduce himself in the form in which he was any more than Jesus Christ could until he came forth in the human form and shed forth his blood, which let the life go forth, bringing his children back. And don't tell me he was both male and female. Why do you say, I think Brother Branham said that about that? You better watch what he said. See, and how it is said, there's a truth there, but you got to watch it. Now, Eve was given to Adam to reproduce himself. All life is in the form of species or original seed, and it is not two lives or two spirits in union, but one. Now, catch what I'm saying. All life is according to species. See? And it is not two lives that blend into one. It is one life that reproduces itself through the two channels that God ordained, right or wrong. All right. Kind or bovine life or bovine life is not bull and cow, as though the life in itself was a male life and a female life. It is kind life. See? Horse life is not stallion life and mare life. It is horse life. See? Now, Eve's life was Adam's life and Adam's life alone. Now, Brother Branham category said it. You wonder where he said it? I said, now, gee, you might not have got this. Therefore, the part of his spirit, part of his body, part of his flesh, bone of bone, word of his life, word of his word, life of his life. So, we are not viewing species in the terms of gender. We are viewing it in the purest term of original, which is original seed, which is spoken word. And the bodies are there in the male and female in order to reproduce. Now, the keeper or repository of life is the male only. And the female is required to bring forth that life, so that male and female are nothing in themselves, but the life entrusted to both is what counts. That's why Brother Branham could say, when you proposed to her and she said, I will marry you, and you made a real vow, she is a vessel, sacred vessel for childbearing. So we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. Ready to turn your tape over? Might as well turn it over so we don't fool ourselves. I won't go too long. What, an hour and a half? Yeah, 2 o'clock. You have appointments, go ahead and keep them. But don't cut the turkey too quick. Ready? All right. So then, the keeper or repository of life is the male only, not the female. But she is required to bring forth the life that is in him. As Brother Branham said, that you were born through the bedding grounds of your mother by holy matrimony. So that male and female are nothing in themselves, but the life entrusted to both is what counts. See, that's why you can see the Omega. There's neither male nor female. There's no giving in marriage. Now, the structure may be there, but as far as the man is concerned and the woman, it is simply life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall appear with him in glory. So here we go again. Dog life, cat life, apple life, plum life, God life. See, God life. That's what we're looking at. If Adam was the son of God, then Adam was the repository of God life. He had to be. Even the same as Jesus, the expressed image of the essentiality of Almighty God. If a light formed when there was nothing to form from but God, then what did the light form from? You want to read it in the book of Hebrews, you'll find that Paul says it 100%. He said, in the last days is spoken unto us any son whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the ages, who being the effulgence, the brightness, the outflowing of his glory. The word glory means assessment. The assessment then, to assess anything, you have to have something to assess it against. Well, you can't assess Jesus against anything but the Word, because he's absolutely indescribable. How can you deal with God? You can't see him, you can't hear him, you can't feel him. You can't do this and you can't do that. So it tells you right here that if you want any assessment, if you want anything to judge by, and in that judgment you see the absolute superior, the ineffable, the marvelous, that nothing can touch it, this is above everything and anybody, no way, no way, then you're looking at Jesus. Say, who's that guy? See where the world missed it? They don't have a clue to what glory is. Glory is some little thing where the woman slaps the goo on her face and pulls herself in, look good, and she gets her toes down this road. She, I'm Messiah. You missed it all right, kid. You missed heaven too. And got a clue to what it is. The express image of his person, the expression of him, of his very substance. See? That's what you're looking at here. We're talking about God-like. Now we go to the book of John to begin to examine it. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is with God, and the Word was God. It tells you right there in the beginning there was God, period, an object to be worshipped, but you couldn't worship him because nothing was around him to worship. He has to be worshipped. Means he got to be an object. There's nothing to worship. He's no God. So what did he do? There in the state of his own formation as to what he essentially was, invisible and all by himself, he began to move in that direction where he could be God. So therefore he began to work. And by means of working, he began the light form. And through that one, which we call the Son, God was in Christ as he was in him redeeming. He was the one positively that made all things, and it only behooved him to redeem all things if he made them. Because he's responsible. Don't talk to me about you having a Rottweiler dog that can bite kids, and then some kid get hurt, and I won't hit you with a 4x4. You believe. Or it'll spatter your brains across the floor. I'm not kidding. I mean it. I would ready to take the law in my hands. You're responsible. You got that kind of a dog. You are culpable. That's a murder. The law goes back. Because the judge is a stinking murderer, knows his kid's going to be caught. I hope they find out what Bush has really done before it's over. Not that I'm anything against Bush, but it'd just be kind of fun to see the records heard before the White Throne. The White Throne may have to do it. That was God anyway. The same was in the beginning with God. Everything was there within him. So he started this great move to be God. All things made by him. Without him was not made, was not made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. It tells you right there, in him was Zoe. In the living God was in him this way. In order to project himself. And everything around was a projection of God. Now the whole thing fits in. And in its creation of man and woman. And woman falls because she's outside of the first of the origin. And she was made that way. So don't fuss at women. Don't fuss at their nature. The problem is it just took it too far, and so is man taking his. The very man wants to be a rapist. The nice little gal wants to be a seducer. Yeah, he ends up a whore master and she's a whore. I talk rough, but let's face issues. Come on. What do you think? You're nice, nice people. It's nice, nice out there. You've got to be kidding yourself. If I was your age, you'd be like, I'd do everything to keep my kids at home and everything I could to tell them the whole truth. Years ago, you didn't have to. But 4-year-old kids know today stuff that 50-year-old didn't know my time. Don't tell me I'm kidding you. I'm talking about me and all my cohorts. I don't have to rub your nose in it, for God's sake. Limburger cheese, I just spread it around so you can smell the stuff. I'm not putting it on the exhaust of your car to make sure you're smelling it. The light shineth than darkness. Creation tries to gleam its light into the hearts of men, and they turn on the living God. And the last thing is homosexuality. Don't you understand where we're at? What has happened? What's going on? Now, I quoted you already, Psalm 84 and 2, Jeremiah 10 and 10. It talks about the living God. If God is not a living God, then he's no God. But then it says, in him was life, and I explained what that was. And he breathed into Adam the breath of life, which absolutely signifies that he gave him a portion of the Spirit of Almighty God to bring forth children. And in the separation from him is where the fall came. And so in our separation from Christ is where our fall came. But Adam went forth to redeem her. Now she'll be saved in childbearing. Certainly because he had to save her to bring forth children. God wasn't going to make a second Eve. Where do you find second Eves? You don't. Second Adams. That's where the life is. The repository. That's where Adam couldn't be deceived. He wasn't deceived. He went right out and sacrificed himself in the human race. Brother Branham said so. Let's use types in the scripture. All right. So, to say that the Holy Spirit that came at Pentecost is feminine is baseless. Even though the word is paraclete, one called alongside to help. Still doesn't make it feminine, because Eve was feminine. She was called alongside to help. Though some students say so. I don't know where they get in the Greek. I look for it. I can't find it. But it may be because they say, help me. So what I'm saying here simply is this. Life is life. Male and female is physical for multiplying and perpetuating that life. See? And since we are thinking in terms of mankind, let us remember, only the male has the X and Y chromosome. The female doesn't. I think the X is the female. Isn't that what it is? Who knows biology? Ever does the female is chromosome? There's Y? Is Y or X? Which is X and Y? X? Yeah, Y is male, isn't it? I thought it was. I don't know why they put X first for male, for the female. Oh, no, but I guess that's the way nature is supposed to make it. So, all right. There is no way that a woman can continue having life, because in her is not that which bears the life. Doesn't have the right chromosome. See? That's why if you had such a thing as a true virgin birth, not like Jesus' birth, but a woman would have a baby, like they say, a sudden tremendous trauma of some description could make her pregnant. I never heard such crud in my life. That's Inquirer, Globe, and Star, and True Love, messed up goop gunk, London Sun, the Murdoch paper. No wonder you committed suicide and these boys are in jail. Say a woman by a thunder, some thunderclap, she got pregnant. She brought, but they did say the truth, she brought forth a baby girl, because they knew no way could she have a male. So listen, what I'm trying to show you, and Brother Branham says, all this, we take it back to the Bible. I'm not trying to read his mind and make him say something I want him to say, but I'm showing you what he said, and we'll go back and look at it. I'm going to the Bible, because that's where he got it from. Where did he get? He made them female and male in the beginning, made them one. Reading the almanac? Huh. Bill Branham didn't have time for that kind of junk. The female has only the X, and therefore does not possess any ability to produce a male. But the male, as the full repository of life, determines the sex of the child, if there is even to be a child. Okay? So then we see the male is the life giver and can produce male and female for reproduction. If there was indeed a separation of spirit of male from female, and those two spirits were in themselves female and male, the male could not have retained the female part and not be a hermaphrodite. For Brother Branham said she received the female spirit and he just kept the male. Now we're talking about spirit. I'm getting in here maybe a little involved for it, but just hold on. That is, Brother Branham speaks of male and female spirit. He is speaking, in my understanding, as he spoke in serpent seed. Now that's number one I got right here. Yeah. Notice this man, when he was created, God separated his spirit. He took a piece off the man, his side, and made a woman out of it. Then he took the feminine, dainty spirit of the man, out of the man, and made a woman out of it. And he made the man masculine and burly. So evidently the man had within him the ability to show two sides of what he was that lay within him if God had allowed it. Today, we down the street and across the street. Over here. Well, come on. Well, I read it again. Separate the spirit. He took a piece off the man, he side made one life. Then he took the feminine, dainty spirit of the man and made a woman out of it. And he made the man masculine burly. And Brother Branham said, a woman taken off her clothes, she's got just the right figure for it. Oh, you bet she has. She's out there strutting her stuff. Now he said, you put a man out there. Take the shirt off. Put just a little pair of trunks on him. Burly old knees. He looks like something you wouldn't look at the second time. That's all changed since he died. I won't talk about it. I read the papers. Don't worry. I read a lot of things. I hear a lot of things. They all come together. When you see a man, little, you know, manicuring his fingernails,
four on one side, five on the other. I don't quite know what that means. Flicking his hair down, that's, you know, doing certain things. Holding his mouth open in front, some, you know, pretty boy. Just remember, sissy, something's wrong with that bird. There's something wrong, you keep your eye on him. So what is his spirit? Huh? What is his spirit he's talking about? Okay. Easter seal. For in God severed in Adam, he was both. We find out Adam was spirit to begin with. He made man in his own image. He created male and female. That's right. Then Genesis 2 and on, he created man of the dust of the earth. Created in God's image. God's the spirit. Spirit man. Then he came flesh. Animal flesh on the earth. He's showing here, portraying here the bride. Now he's portraying the bride. Some preacher up in Canada said that the female part of the Holy Spirit came back at Pentecost on the bride. I never heard of a woman making a man pregnant. Or a woman making a woman pregnant. I never heard a woman could teach and handle Scripture. I never heard a woman having headship. You talk about this guy being perverted. Well, I would say he is anyway. Now, he never took and made another being, but he took part of that original creation. You know, the same thing with Christ. We're talking about Christ. We're talking about life. In him was life. The living God had life in him. He himself able to bear, bring forth, so on. Left the masculine spirit in there, placed in the feminine part. Therefore, part of his spirit, part of his body, part of his flesh, bone of his bone, word of his word, life of his life. Now, that's the thing you are talking about in my understanding. When you talk of a male life and you talk of a female life, you are talking of life, and I say, what kind of life? Now, you cannot differentiate the female from the male because her life came from him and her body came from him. So when you're talking of spirit, what are you talking about? Let's read some more. He wouldn't believe it. Maybe he could prove he was male, but in his spirit, he's female. Doesn't know what side of the house he belongs to. That's right, he's perverted. That's what Satan does. Perverts the nation, perverts the church, perverts the people. Deceiver, perverts the original truth. God made a man, made a woman. Dressed them different. He meant to stay that way, to act that way. One feminine, one masculine. Next one. She's a byproduct. He took the male part from the... left the male part with the man, the feminine with the... with the woman, so she's feminine, and he's masculine-ish. What do you want to see? When you see a woman like in America, they want to act like a man, there's a perversion there. When you see the man so sissified, afraid to say, I just don't, you know, tell the truth. Now, what am I getting at here to my understanding? Well, let's go back to Genesis 5. Before I talk, this is not too tremendously well prepared, as though tremendously well thought out, because there's a point of truth in here and there, but you've got to watch where it's leading you to what it's in the lines of Scripture. All right, in chapter 5, this is the book of the generation of Adam, the day that God created man, the likeness of God, God made him. Male and female created them and blessed them and said, and called their name Adam in the day they were created. Notice he called their name Adam. And that word comes from the word red clay. Actually has the meaning able to blush. They didn't have to blush even though they were naked before they got into sexual sin. That's why Paul said it's a shame to speak of those things that are done by them in secret. He said, Brother Vale, why do you haul down the book? Because it's not done in secret anymore. When you get the actual picture of their filth, that's not secret. Brother Branham hit it, and I'll hit it twice as hard. Because I ain't got third of love he's got. Okay. And Adam lived 130 years, begat a son, his own likeness, and so on. Now you take this right down to the book of Luke, and you'll find it says Adam was the son of God. So therefore, Adam contained God life. So therefore, every son of God that was in Adam and could only be in Adam, wise and foolish bride, I don't care where you put it, virgin, I don't care where you put it, everyone was in him, and everyone did go astray. Now, when you consider Genesis 5, the genealogy of Adam and all the sons, wise and foolish virgins of the word, one source is said where they come from. And notice what they are called. It's in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter. And it says, but we see Jesus made a little orphan and the angels, for suffering it is, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every son. The word in there is son, not man. Man should be in italics. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one source. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I'll put my trust in him. And again, behold, all the children which God hath given me. You can see, all right then, there's two groups of people. The masculine group. The female group, though not mentioned, is called children. Hogwash is not in there, so don't put it. You are looking at a fact here, as far as I can understand, passed on in the church age book, 100% on the grounds, as it says in Galatians, because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit into your hearts, giving you the Holy Ghost, because you're sons. Every individual child of God is a son, but collectively they are called female, which is bride. And notice, as every single one came out of Adam, both male and female, in order to propagate, at the end time they go right back to where they were together when you're male and female without an act of propagation. And the woman will look like a woman. She will act just perfect like Jesus, the same as a man will look like a man and act just as perfect as Jesus. If you don't believe that, you get and read. Go ahead and read again beyond the curtain of time. And see those young women rush up. One 16-year-old, 90 years old, she got converted, hugged Brother Brown, didn't feel no sensation. No longer male and female. Living creatures like the angels. See? Okay. Brother Branham, In Genesis 2 and 7, when he breathed into the breath of life, he said was the Holy Spirit. Breathed into flesh to produce lives, and man became the part of Zoe animal creation, which he was not before. So is God both masculine and feminine? Or do we have a possibility that God as Father is masculine and the Holy Spirit is feminine? If that's so, how come the Holy Ghost came upon Mary? That's a sexual term found in the Old Testament. Brother, sister, listen, there's something wrong with people today when they're going into these subjects. Why don't they leave them alone? It is not pertinent. But I'm going to tell you what's happened. No longer do they talk about the presence. He is here. Oh, this is far greater. This is a perfect way to bring on homosexuality. I'll eat it. What is there in a man? He told me himself because he was homosexual. We went into a shop, a bookstore. And here we picked up, I did specifically and innocently because I didn't know what was behind it. It was one of those weightlifting magazines. And you saw the brawny guys. I thought, boy, wouldn't I like to have muscles like that, because my God, I can't lift up hardly 10 pounds. It'd be nice to lug my suitcase up and downstairs several floors if I have to without having a heart attack. And he said, that magazine is homosexual. And he said, you don't know what that does to me when I see that man's figure. Sexual. Merciful God. Wisdom is justified of her children. Now remember, spoken words, original seed. All forms of life are created true species, and very few can cross over and multiply, and if it does, it is a hybrid. Now life, today, according to science, they go way back in now. They can take a human tissue and put it with herbs. You got a monster. This is the day when Christ must come, because Brother Branham said when they get close to understanding life, which means they nearly create it. In other words, they create their own forms and all. That's it. When the world churches preach his presence, the Roman Catholic Church says he's here, it's over. Israel back on the homeland, over. This generation, not past me, the homosexuals are going to take over. They're doing it. And they're lying about the number of people with AIDS. They'll continue to lie. See, they got to cover up. I used to think atomic bomb would take care of Washington, but I can see AIDS will take care of it very nicely. So I don't need to give them any help. All the aid they want, they got already. See? So, God's life being in itself truly neutral. For sex is only for procreation by partnership. God is not masculine in a sex way, but as predominant features and nature, where man and man only is head. How could there be a feminine head, a teacher at Pentecost? How could a female take the place of Jesus? Now watch where this is leading. If the female can take the place of Jesus, who is masculine, then the church has the right to stand up and make the doctrine. Where are these people today? They're right back. The so-called Branhamites are right back to Rome. Hey. No woman makes a male pregnant. As I said, even look at Luke, the first chapter, verse 35, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And then go to Acts, the second chapter. And verses 17 to 21, it shall come to pass the last day, saith God, to form a spirit upon all flesh, your sons and daughters prophesy, your young men see visions, old men dream dreams, my servants hand there, form a spirit in the last day, they shall prophesy, and then I shall sow wonders in heaven above and signs earth beneath, blood and fire and smoke, sun turned into blood, into darkness, and moon turned into blood, before the great and day of notable day of the Lord come. Tells you right there, there's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Now, watch what happens in that day. A complete perversion takes over, because now everybody and anybody gets anointed. And out of it come signs and wonders, and right after that, the great tribulation. Many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils and prophesied? I never knew you. See, what I'm trying to show you is this. There is no place in my understanding that the Holy Ghost is not Almighty God Himself. There is only one God, and He has certainly set Him forth self as being masculine, but only in the sense, as I understand, as the true typing. But He can use reference to Himself as concerning, He wants to type what women are really like as they should be as created by God. Now listen to me. What has happened since Luke 1:35, which brought forth the Son of God in flesh, and Luke 2:17 to 21, it is now not the dove leading the lamb, but it is the dove on the wolf. In other words, what I'm saying, the question is absolutely irrelevant and foolish. As to try to bring up anything as about a female part of the Spirit and a male part of the Spirit. I cannot find anything there. I can positively find that that's how God made Adam. And he called the one, and he made it that exactly that way, so the woman being the woman would have a female spirit on her, and the man being a man would have a male spirit upon him. And when you see a woman playing with another woman, she's a complete pervert. She'll go to hell with bells on. And when you see a man homosexual, another man, he will do the same thing. They are nothing but filth, because a woman should be delicate. Brother Branham constantly said, all women, dress in your pretty negligees to meet your husband. Submit yourselves in that proper way as a woman. He showed the tenderness, the kindness, but he said, a man, stand up like a man. That's what the Spirit of my book is all about. Don't give me this stuff of two spirits that they're trying to teach. Although I admit they're there, to me they are absolutely subverting and perverting what is being said by the prophet, who had absolutely a knife in anybody's ribs, man or woman, when a woman acted like a man and a man like a little woman. His constant theme was what was happening today. His last figures were on homosexuality. Just before he died, he said there's a 40% increase, I think, in 1 year in California. So whether Lee Bale's right or wrong on what he's talking about, let's go back then to Matthew again. I think a mister's going to read it here. And we're going to close up. Sorry to take your time, but I'm not sorry. If you don't like the sermon, I'll come back and preach it again. In other words, to help you. I'll do better next time. Spend more time on it. All right, the Pharisees came tempting, said, is lawful for man to put his wife right for every cause? He answered and said, have you not read, he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Now he lays the whole thing out. He said, he that made them a male and a female made them for one cause, which is to marry. I never saw a spirit marry yet. But I can tell you, get the right spirit in the right person, one male and a female, they will get married unless they aspire to the higher cause, which is not celibacy as the Catholic Church preaches it, but a man so involved like Paul. Why, they tell you something. Moses was as big as Paul, and he got involved with women. William Branham was maybe bigger than both of them. I don't believe he really was, but he could have been, and he got involved with women in the right way. You think Meadie was a hurly-burly man? Come on, here a bear, want me to show you how it's done. The very fact that she complained, and I want to admit before God that I don't see her complaining was really out of order for what she said. She said, Bill, and you look after the kids, and he was gone all the time. And God struck her for saying it. Want a little word off course to the man. Oh, well, don't oh well, brother, sister. That's why women aren't women anymore. And men are a bunch of corruption. The only leadership they had was trying to jump into bed. If she didn't do it, they'd rape her. Look what happened with the Navy, eh? The Air Force branch of the Navy. Even generals in that one. Carrying women's clothes off. What have women got in the Air Force anyway? Answer me that one. Well, you know, free men. Well, then be free to get raped. I'm not endorsing it. Hey, I don't care if one went naked, a man shouldn't rape her. No. No, sir. But you see what we're talking about? That woman's spirit is sex in my books, and the male spirit is sexual, because that's when the separation came in a body. She acts different. He acts different. And if there's any crossing up in the flesh nature, that shows there's something wrong. There's a perversion. And that's exactly what has taken place. It's that perversion that's come down through the flesh that makes that woman no longer a woman and that man no longer a man. See? So you said, I don't believe for 1 minute, brother, sister, in any portion of a female, of the Holy Spirit is female. I don't believe that God is. I don't believe for 1 minute that God's interested in sex per se. He said in the Bible he's not interested in the legs of a man. Thighs, put it, loins, whatever you want to do. Program laid out. I believe God's male in the sense that he's male as to how he applies what we know in nature to him. He gives us that privilege by telling about it. The bride is a woman. And he talks about it as from nature, because it's the only thing can be done. The Word of God is 100% clear that the seed is in the man, the life is. That doesn't abnegate the woman for 1 minute. But you can see the male has drifted from what he was truly in his spirit as a man, and the woman truly wrong in her spirit as to what she was as a woman, and you see the whole thing coming out in sexuality. So that's why my message is this morning. I don't see the Holy Spirit female. I see a male with a complete male nature, a woman with a complete female nature. And then across up there's a hybridization somewhere, and it's going to get worse. And homosexuality proves exactly what's in the world today. And there isn't anything left except destruction. If I think of anything else, I'll come and tell you. Let's rise and be dismissed. But I'm against what people are teaching. Heavenly Father, we thank you for whatever we learned today, hoping, oh God, the best we know how that it's said right, because we know so many times the prophet said things in his own mind which we know he was dead set against, and he brought it out, I believe, Lord, very, very clear. We're talking about that feminine spirit, kind, gentle, delicate, where a man wasn't that way, and yet a man could be kind and sensitive within the realm of the strength that you gave him. And a woman could be strong. Strong, Lord, in the realm of the delicate sweetness that you gave her. So that he would not depart from being what he was according to you and could be according to you. And she in the same area. And we see there, Lord, that perfect distinction of each yet coming together. Family of God. Lord, we don't see the bride as gross in the Songs of Solomon. He eulogized her to the heavens. And we realize there was a great report and rapport concerning her sexuality. And she the same with him. And there lay in masculinity and femininity. But the life was there to blend and come together in love and in union. And that's what it was. And Lord, the church has departed, but thank God, there's a bride coming back. And again, Lord, we say, if we're nothing but just friends of the bridegroom, and stand back and rejoice to see the bridegroom and the bride come together, God, give us at least that privilege, that we may have what Brother Branham said, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. It's got to be. Gotta be a people. And by the grace